Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my fabulous co-host, Veronica Entwistle. Hi, Ronnie.
Good evening, everyone. Hi, Jackie. It's an interesting night, isn't it?
It is. It definitely is. Well, we're in this powerful full moon tonight. It started this morning. And full moon in Libra, with Venus doing some very interesting things as she prepares to go direct on the 17th. So, And, of course, full moons are about polarity and the resolution of polarity. You go figure. Sorry, everyone. That's kind of an inside statement. Anyway, tonight's topic, the divine masculine and Christed male energy, which I thought was really appropriate. I was going to do something totally different, but you know, I don't really get to run this show, even though I think I do.
Hey, Jackie, will you refresh the Venus retrograde? It isn't always about love. It's about what we love, right?
It's about totally rethinking all of that, yes. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it is love, about love. It's about, in a way, preparing ourselves for bringing through love in an entirely different way.
Mm.
And that's what we've really been doing, and I know, in many ways.
Like a little golden crochet hook, and we're just picking the strands of it.
Yes. And it's about rethinking the way that we do relationships and how we do them and what's in our... Boy, what a great question. What gets in our way? So, and I'm just so excited that it goes direct to 17th. I can't hardly wait. I'm counting the days.
But it seems like it's a really good time to kind of slowly reevaluate what it is we want to plunge into, don't you think?
Well, I think so much about what we want is how we want to plunge into it.
Hmm.
I would say you're right as well.
As opposed to head first, what?
I don't think I do much that isn't head first. I may not last long, but it depends. Let's put it this way. Once I commit, it's like committed.
Great.
I didn't mean to get off on the Venus thing, but I do think it is important. And I did send some things out. There was a lot of stuff I didn't send out for whatever reason. Everything got disjointed last night when I was sending out the show announcement. So a lot of this stuff will follow up next week. So,
but there's an awful lot going on, and it's really hard to cover it all. You know?
There is so much going on astrologically right now that it's very big, a very big time. And
in my last show, I was talking about like beyond the veil or between the veils and through the veils. And as Bob was remarking today, that any of the callers, everybody was linking to that. But I'll tell you what, we just kind of nudged the edge of what the veil even means. So we have to do it again next week. But it's so that everybody's journey that I've been talking to seems to have a lot to do with the fact that we're getting so much more multidimensional and we don't really even know how to pull it out together.
And that's a whole other show, Veronica. I mean, we could do a whole show on that.
Shows.
And because I, like you, I'm seeing people really start to act. I am encountering people where I'm experiencing them multidimensionally, and I'm getting blown away. And, you know, it takes a lot to blow me away. Believe me, not because I'm such an advanced soul. It's just, you know, I've had a lot of life experience, and it takes an awful lot to kind of rock me on my heels.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I recently have had an experience where I've been around someone that I experience so in such a multidimensional way that I can't, we talked about this earlier, I can't, their size changes constantly because there's nothing constant about this person. And so it's actually mind-boggling.
Which dimension is being emphasized at which time?
Exactly. And as I said, it's like they're shape-shifting, but they're really not. It's that I'm experiencing them multidimensionally.
Mm.
And you know, with the soul liftings that we've been doing, and you were talking about the veil, we're going in preparation, the team takes you literally through the veil to a parallel dimension. And it's really interesting. I've been seeing this with a lot of clients as we're doing the soul lifting work, where they're encountering all, actually kind of moving up above and all of a sudden aware of all their lifetimes all at the same time. So we're finally starting to really touch into that. And they don't stay there for long because, you know, it's, again, our brain isn't fully capable of dealing with it all. You know, it was, I don't want people to go into total overload. I had somebody I've been working with for 4 years, and we did a session, a soul lifting session last week, I think, and or the week before, and they wrote and said, cancel my next session. I have to wait because I can't do the next one. I'm still so fried from the one that we did. And so, you know, I'm like, I don't know what's, you know, because we're working in those, really in the multidimensional levels right now. And
isn't this kind of running up to 2012 and all that exponential multidimensional incorporation?
Absolutely. And, you know, and I'm sure you're encountering this too, Veronica. Everybody's experiencing it differently.
Mm-hmm.
There's no two people having the same experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you feeling that as well?
Yes, and I still find it. I know I've asked, Bob said I've asked the team every show about this, but how can I figure out what it's like for us all to have a different reality concurrently in the same room, sort of thing. That's something I'm always perplexed about, actually experiencing logically, you know?
Well,
it's my puzzle.
Right, but you can't experience it logically, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
Okay, the term logic throws it right out, right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're moving out of logic into exponential, and the moment you move into exponential, there is no logical, it doesn't, because it's nonlinear.
Mm.
So there is no past, present, future. That's, you know, that's what it's like. All of a sudden you start jumping around. We're going to come to a point where we realize that what we perceived as, for those people who believe in reincarnation who are listening, that this lifetime, then this lifetime, then this lifetime, all of a sudden that won't be the case. Because we perceive them as happening in this year, this year, this year, whatever those years may be. All of a sudden, we're going to realize that, and Ginger, who channels Galexis, said this the other day, was quoting Lazarus, that they may all of a sudden realize their last lifetime was in Lemuria, which we perceive as happening thousands, thousands, and thousands of years ago. Okay? Now, how interesting is that?
And so that the last lifetime could have been very, very recent, but still it's thousands and thousands of years ago.
The last lifetime, I don't know that the term recent would come in. That, in fact, was the last lifetime. But we believe things to be, you know, Lazarus always referred to this when we've talked about Lemuria and Atlantis and when they occurred. And, you know, years ago, he would make references to, it's not what you think. There's always those little hints and clues. It's not what you think, that these things are not linear. Now I'm beginning to understand exactly what was meant by that statement, because our perception, okay, which we all have on this planet of everything being linear, doesn't really exist. So what we perceived as happening thousands of years ago, if that could have been our last lifetime, that means that what we're experiencing now, okay, even though we perceive it as happening after, is happening prior to. I mean, it gets very, you know, that's why I said if you're in there trying to play with logic, you'll be there for a long time.
Well, and on a much more, if I can use the term mundane level, for example, Lynn McTaggart, scientific experiments have shown that if they collect a lot of minds with focus and intention and focus on a current group of beings, and they focus on healing them in 1995, for example, their whole lives change. So the way you're talking, I'm going, well, there's a parallel to that, isn't there? Like, there is no time and space. It's our intention and focus and how it brings together a more integrated version of the person. Is that right?
Okay. let's go to soul lifting for a minute, because that's the one, I mean, you know, that's really where my focus has been, because this work, when it came in, I was just like, when they bring something new in, I'm always kind of like, I don't get it all, because it comes in pieces, and it again, nonlinear, and I'm trying to put it all together.
Mm-hmm.
If we're working on healing all lifetimes we've ever experienced in the universe, okay, this lifetime is benefited by all of those healings. Regardless of where this lifetime fits in terms of sequential, okay, our linear experience,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, so in essence, if we go back and heal a pre, you know, we've seen this with regressions.
Mm-hmm.
You go back in a regression and deal with it, what's perceived as a past lifetime. Discover where there was a trauma. Realize that it's triggering a trauma you're having in this lifetime. By dealing with that lifetime, you heal this one. That's just an expanded version of the same concept.
Right. Or it could be actually many that have this specific injury in them that can all be blasted out. Right.
The only time I've seen that, and again, we've been playing with this for years. You know, I've got 5 years under my belt right now. And in the beginning, there's my beautiful group in Oregon. We worked with cancer. And there was one specific person, Darling Rebecca. And during her session, it actually took place in a stadium, and there were about 400,000 beings. I mean, they gave me these numbers very specifically. 400,000 beings present. It was a huge stadium. And the light bodies of all the people with cancer came in on the planet. Now, was there an impact from that specific healing to all those people? They tell me there was. Do I know this for certain? I don't know. You know, can I prove it? Absolutely not. But we've been playing with different things like this. Thank God we don't do a lot of those, because those I had to do laying down. I couldn't even set up doing those sessions because they were too, you know, too powerful.
So you're saying that actually hitting the collective around certain subjects is the...
We can, I mean, in essence, that's what we're doing anyway.
Hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that.
When I first started this work, that was what they told me from day one, that we're working, that these sessions were happening through the archetypes, which is the framework for human consciousness. Okay? Which,
right. Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right, which bypasses the collective, goes into the blueprint itself. That, to me, was pretty powerful. Again, can I prove it? Absolutely not. You know, again, these were all theories I was being given, and, you know, thank God it wasn't bright enough to figure out how all-encompassing they were. I may have run then.
Well, I think that you can't really second-guess the team anyway, can you?
Well, no, but, I mean, even the work you're doing is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that what we're doing now is we're working on such huge levels, so much bigger than we ever perceived, and I'm not certain that everybody gets how big their work is. And I'm talking to all of you listening, you know, because so many of you are doing amazing work, whether you're consciously aware of it or not, for those who are doing work in the dream state.
So it's literally hard to comprehend, I mean, to really sit and think about it.
Well, you know, the team has done enough shows to try to get people to understand how much more they are.
Mm.
And I think this is in alignment with that very concept, that that only when we start really owning it are we going to be able to, again, not giving it to our egos, but recognizing that, you know, we're working in a much bigger arena than we realized. And we came in with the intention of doing this. You know, and the whole thing about not thinking small, you know, that's a huge issue, because we all tend to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And struggle with, you know, am I making a difference? Am I making a difference? You know, they're on the other side of the veil going, they still don't get it. <You know? laughs> Anyway, show dedication. To all those that made their transition, their families, and those that have still suffered devastating losses during the earthquake in Italy last week, or this week. I didn't want to forget that. And I think it was this week. Unfortunately, I'm not very good with time. I just know that it happened. I have a couple things I want to quote here, although this is really fascinating. This is something from I don't want to take too much time with reading any of this stuff. These were some symptoms, again, that were really some of the stuff I didn't get to forward. Again, we're back to what we're feeling again right now, strange dreams. So many people are having these. Nightmares, intestinal distress, dizziness, brain fog, feeling as if you're floating, emotional for no apparent reason, being cold with an inability to get warm, and seeing a lot more light. I don't know if you've been, you would feel it, Veronica.
Seeing more light in the surroundings?
Uh-huh.
But you know something that's funny is I was feeling a lot of tremendous amount of light, and then I've been feeling quicker into like clouds and patches of clouds and then coming out of it like, there's something else going on as well. So, of course, if there's going to be a lot of light, there's going to be the polarity, I suppose, at this point. That's what I've been experiencing anyway. Very bright and a little clouds and stuff.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, at least to me.
Maybe it's because I live in the Northwest.
Well, I didn't know that you were literally talking about clouds.
No, I just mean that sometimes I feel like, oh, it's kind of dark and hazy in my consciousness, and I don't know what that is, and then boom, it pops out again, and then we're into this brightness, and things feel so possible, so multidimensional.
I would say that that's pretty consistent, and I've been feeling the same thing, where I move through moments of unlimited possibilities and then back into some of my real human stuff of, you know, total vulnerability and all kinds of things. So I'm kind of running the gamut.
But the gamut's going kind of fast, isn't it? Like max headroom. That is, it's everything kind of moved through very sort of strangely fast these days for me.
Well, you know, I'm going to quote here again. I think this is Karen. Most of the transitional and transformative experiences we're having all have to do with letting go of holding the old space. We're letting go of any and all energies we place in the old world in order to bring it up in vibration before we could make our recent departure. Thus, there is a lot of disconnecting going on until we can completely make our exit into a very new reality. So, any parts of ourselves that we'd injected into the old reality now have to be reclaimed and brought home. So I would say that that's very indicative of what you're talking about, this kind of sensing of
uck.
Well, being one place and being another, feeling like you're, you know, having this real light-filled experience and then this, as you said, kind of cloudy experience. And, you know, I get these, which makes me laugh. You know, it's like they're screaming at me saying, think of how beautiful things are right now and focus on that. And a lot of this is calming our mind, which is really difficult right now. Have you had that?
Having a little trouble with that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think for everybody, calming the mind right now is a real challenge. I'll just say that. Because I can move back and forth so quickly. I mean, one moment I can just feel absolutely invincible, like I said, and then the next, this huge bubble of vulnerability comes up, and I'm like, ah! So maybe I'm just schizophrenic.
No, but I do think, I mean, the vulnerability is a really crucial thing, and that a lot of us have to experience that, because where we're not ever vulnerable is a defensive stand, isn't it?
Yes, this is something you had said earlier tonight, and I thought that was beautiful.
And it's not easy. A fellow that was at my Costa Rican workshop, you and I were talking about this, he, a young man, very handsome and very new at all this stuff, but very able to grip it and want it very much. And he said, vulnerability, when we did the exercises on vulnerability, he said it was terrifying and exhilarating. It was kind of like mountain climbing or something for him. He got quite a charge out of it and was scared at the same time.
But he was able to hold it.
Yeah, he wanted it. I mean, he really wanted some growth. Eh? And he was able to hold it. I felt like he was pretty courageous because he was pretty clear about how frightening it was.
Bless his heart.
Everybody fell in love with him. What can I say?
Well, again, you know, this is going back to this whole emergence of the divine masculine. You know, we've been working with the divine feminine for years and years now, you know, rebirthing the goddess, rebirthing the divine feminine. And the masculine now is, I'm seeing it, I know you're seeing it, we were talking about this earlier in terms of the people that we're working with, and this extraordinary, I'm seeing it in some of the men I'm working with, that I'm just so touched with how willing they are to move forward and to deal with things that have been blockages for them. Even though they may not totally understand all of it, they're willing to experience it all. And then in their experience, they seem to get it exponentially.
Mm.
And
like a quantum leap into being.
Yes,
this sort of
beautiful
thing.
Men. Beautiful men. I'm just so fascinated by them, that, you know, these are very successful, very intelligent, you know, and in many cases very linear, you know, and stepping into this at this timing is part of that emergence. I mean, I'm fascinated. And, you know, as they come through it, to see how beautiful they are, and I'm like, wow. This is, you know, this is what we've been waiting for. I'm going to read this real quick from Celia Fenn. I did send it out with the announcement, but just a part of it here. She made a trip to Brazil. She's there now. Was talking about how much excitement there is in Brazil. And this is about the new masculine energy is rising in this continent. And the shamans of the continent are feeling this new energy. As we prepare for Easter and Wesak as sacred ceremonies in our year, the divine masculine or Christ male energy is rising within all people all over the planet. This is a wonderful victory for the divine masculine energy that once again emerges as a force of light within the human collective and in people's hearts and minds. This energy will intensely, along with the divine feminine, along with the divine feminine as we move through Easter and Wesak in the next 2 months. But also, and this is, I thought, very interesting, there's another event that's creating a real buzz in the spirit realms here in Latin America, and that is the Gathering of the Ancestors taking place in Arizona the latter part of April. And what she was talking about is this, the Earth Kundalini energy moving up the new spiral grids of the Andes Mountain, a powerful kind of earth dragon energy that's awakening the earth itself, and a similar energy is moving down the Rocky Mountains in North America. And the two currents of energy are meeting in Central America in the Maya lands of Guatemala and Honduras, creating a powerful a dragon or serpent dance. I love this. All the way along the mountainous spine of the Americas. And a powerful vortex of light where the two energies converge.
Is that in Guatemala that they're converging? Or down in Peru or what? Does it say?
Guatemala and Honduras. And then she goes on to say, this energy will be the it's the underpinning for the gathering of the ancestors in Arizona. It's symbolized by the eagle and the condor flying together to bring peace and abundance to the Americas, mm-hmm. and to the new earth.
Mm.
At the time of the gathering, those who will be working with the Earth elders and teachers of the indigenous traditions to create the dreams for the new Earth will be working with this powerful and newly awakened serpent dragon energy of the new Earth. And that to me was so beautiful. As I read it, it just kind of vibrated all the way through me, and I just went, wow.
Mm-hmm.
This is, the indigenous peoples have been talking about this forever. So this is a powerful time. Again, the masculine coming, this beautiful energy now being birthed. And very, very, so for all you women out there listening who've been looking for a spiritual man, they're awakening. Don't give up hope. Now, and Veronica, I wanted you to talk about, because I think this is so powerful, something we talked about earlier in the week about your astrologer.
Oh, yes, Linda Sherman, who's quite a wonderful astrologer, who writes a little, one of these weekly newsletters called Soothsayer, SOOTHE.com, Soothsayer.com. Anyway, she was talking at the end of doing a session for me, she was talking about how with the systems breaking down, that it's very difficult for a lot of men who've been, for example, successful in the old system, losing their identity and their relationship to power and success in the system. She says it's way harder for men than women because, as she said, we've been churning our identities over and over again. Especially if we're over 60.
I'd rather call it reinventing, but go ahead.
But we've been pushed to reinvent sometimes, and sometimes we've chosen it, But she said we've got a flexibility, and we've certainly been seasoned. And I think her recommendation that I loved was, don't be afraid to reach out and help men, because men are strong, but in their sensitivity and the loss of the identity in the system, they might need us. She especially is talking about our generation. They might need us to grab their hand and pull them on through or help them re-identify themselves. Don't be too freaked out by that, because some of them can be just sort of sitting there limp, not even knowing what on earth to do next, But she had great faith that they were moving on through but might need a little more support. So instead of us saying, gall darn it, I want them to be there already, we might have to reach out and say, come on. Come on, Fred. Let's go play.
Right. And, this going back to the vulnerability, and I'm, I want to say here, and I this is important, and I have some personal experience with this. That's all I'll say at this point.
And a few other things in the churn, right?
Well, that, it's time to rethink the way that we look at men.
That's perfect, yes.
Okay, we have historically, for thousands of years, we've been in the male chauvinistic paradigm. Women, have had this and carry it at a cellular level. The anger, resentment, we can go on and on with all the descriptive of men and having been controlled by them and so on and so forth.
And disappointed in them because they're supposed to get on their white horse, and that's that, right?
Well, yes, of course. I mean, when the fantasy, which is always birthed out of oppression, is the white knight,
yeah.
to save you from the oppression. But it's time now to change the way that we think about men in terms of allowing, as you said, the vulnerability, Veronica, and also to be able to see them with new eyes. Because we can't bring that old energy of distrust and resentment and so on forward to where we're going, and we really can't bring it into new relationships. And we absolutely can't assist anyone, them or ourselves, without having the vulnerability and the compassion for them, and realize that it's now their time to come forward in a whole different way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that this is still something, and I'm Veronica, you've got to encounter this in your work as well, that we still have women out there who are still carrying some real angst about men.
Quite a few, I would say.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are a transitional generation. You know what I mean? It's like nobody's really sure how to walk a new walk when we've had experience. And, you know, and that's really what's being required. And that's why the vulnerability is so crucial. Was that too much?
No, I was just thinking about something I could say, and I'm deciding whether or not I want to say it.
Oh, okay.
I'll go ahead and say this. I had a conversation with someone, and that I think a tremendous amount about, but my history was such that, you know, because I've made some poor choices in the past, you know, I put them to a test, which was, you know, okay, you haven't had, you know, I don't want to hear any surprises about, you know, I mean, and only because mine are always extreme. No indictments, no this, no that. You have to understand how funny this is from my perspective. It's not, it wasn't funny at the moment, but it's funny looking back on it. Because in my experience has been such an extreme one. And, but the truth of it was that you know, that's bringing the old into it. And...
I don't know. I think you have to do both, don't you think?
Well, I think you probably do. I think what was really interesting is that the person I chose to ask this of is probably the most integrous person I've encountered, and it actually is funny when I look back at it in retrospect that I would even go there, but I think I did it for myself more than anything else.
It's just a litany of what was, right?
Well, just to be absolutely certain that I did my checklist so that I could never say that I didn't ask the questions, which are the key questions I never asked in the past. But again, not bringing that forward, and because, you know, it's like if we were in the reverse situation where the women had dominated, you know, humanity for 2,000 years, and, you know, men were coming along going, you know, just having the same attitude of, you know, carrying this, you know, suppressed resentment, you know, and fear of us. You know. Only then would we really understand what we're talking about. Yet.
But, you know, I know a lot of men that are really afraid of women.
Oh, absolutely, and mm-hmm. rightfully so.
Mm-hmm, you bet.
Because we still have a lot of women, and this is something that's, you know, I'm going to share this. It's very, very interesting. I don't want to go too long because I need to channel, but I was talking with someone that we both know, Ted, the other night, and he was talking about, he was actually working on me, and we were going back in time, you know, to heal some things, you know, in a timeline for me. And in our discussion, we were talking about, and this is something he brought up, that with women, because they have the egg, it's how primitive this issue is, because they have the egg, that once it's impregnated by the sperm, they give up 50% of their identity. I thought this was fascinating. And so that's how primitive the energy is between male and female. That loss of an identity and domination, because the sperm, of course, is the aggressor. You know, the egg's just sitting there.
Do you mean? Do you mean the egg is what gives up its identity, or the mother, the woman?
The egg.
Hmm.
That's how primitive.
Hmm.
Okay, and I thought that was really an interesting perspective.
Well, I'm going to run it by Woody Allen.
And why Woody?
You remember in Annie Hall at the end? She's,
no, honey, I'm not good with movies. You know that.
Something like she says, well, why do we go through all this? No, what is it the other way around? Why do we go through all this? Because we need the egg.
Oh.
It's totally irrelevant. But it became a classic line. We just need the egg. You know? And it is Easter.
Yes, thank you very much. Well, at any rate, these are some things that we really don't want to carry forward, but we should be aware of, that this is part of the, you know, the resistance that we're now trying to heal, you know, for the, if, to embody, because we're all masculine and feminine, to embody the divine masculine as well as the divine feminine, we have to come to peace and love them both.
And I also want to throw back in this thing that I'm working on lately, which is when we can become conscious of our defenses and our resistances, then we can move into being new. We can have new responses to these things, to the divine masculine and feminine, without all these horrible defensive stances that we've been doing.
Well, and I want to go a little further with that. You brought that up earlier tonight before we were on the air with in my personal situation. And it was actually a brilliant comment, Veronica, because what you also said is that in that resistance, having to go into the vulnerability, recognizing where our resistance is, then going into the vulnerability consciously.
Mm.
And I love that. I mean, that was, I thought, brilliant. Thank you very much.
And I think that's where we pivot our evolution, which is what you really want, I want, you want, we want.
We all want.
Yes.
And where women have become pretty tough and defensive and...
suspicious.
And suspicious.
Mostly of ourselves. Can I be new? Is this going to be, you know... an attraction of an old way.
I think they're afraid of making old mistakes, which is, again, you can't bring that energy forward, going back to the whole Venus being in retrograde.
Mm.
You know, this is really, the energy right now is exactly that, reassessing and looking at all that we've done in the past, clearing it, as it said in the notes, reclaiming those pieces of ourselves that we've left back there,
mm-hmm.
so that we can move whole, full, when Venus turns forward, move forward in a more whole fashion. And I think that's incredibly important, incredibly important.
It is,
and,
extremely.
You know, with the whole Christed energy, and I just want to say this, metaphysics has moved away from Jesus or Yeshua and his path and so on in an awful lot of ways. Many people listening here are not that way, but there are a lot of people that have. And because they saw it as, you know, as martyred and this and that. I mean, I can go on and on because so much of the writings and teachings were distorted. But the truth of it is that, you know, he was an incredible master. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant with all that he did. And he really does represent, you know, a Christed being on a planet. There have been others, but he did. And to remove ourselves from that and not embrace that and honor it, I think would be sad. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, I just want to ask you if the team is on an evolutionary track.
Everything is.
Good.
I mean, how can anything not be?
That's right.
Okay, let me check out here. For those of you listening, before my voice starts to change, for those of you listening for the first time, I'm going to channel Veronica, if you'll explain.
Jackie's going to channel to bring through the team, and we're going to talk to them about, hopefully about the masculine and feminine, but we never quite know, because they're very wonderful and loving.
All right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Dear Veronica, welcome to you.
And to you. It's wonderful to hear your voice again.
All right. Well, our voice does, but experienced as tone. All right. Now, divine masculine and feminine. Well, let us talk about this timing right now on your planet coming up this weekend. Friday through Sunday. Because of the honoring of this time, because of the number of people who celebrate this as a sacred time, the energies on your planet are far more open, creating an overall time of sacredness, self-created by all of you. Now, this is something you may, most of you probably understand this, but not necessarily all of you. It is life with your Christmas time, which is really not the correct time of the birth of Christ, but nevertheless, a sacred time. Now, we could get into the pagan times and so on, but we won't get into all of that. We don't have time tonight. But when all of you decide that something is sacred, it becomes sacred. So this is a very sacred time. And so you can utilize this time. Now, there was a sharing about the fact that there would be more of the energy, the Christed energy, the Christ light, if you want to call it that, the Christ consciousness, more appropriately, coming into and on the planet during this time. That is an accurate assessment. You can avail yourselves of that energy. Now, does it come in every time? Well, you're open to it. Therefore, it is being called. Is it not? Veronica?
Well, does it? I was just wondering, does it descend all over, or is it coming through individuals because of our choice to let it through?
Oh, very good question. Both.
Both.
Okay. Both. If you choose, and we want to be clear with this, to be a vehicle of that light, a lantern of that light, is not that choice, think about this, honored?
Mm-hmm. But if you choose to resist, does that enhance the polarity? Is that what's going on?
Very much so. I can really resist it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know people that do that?
Mm-hmm, I do, yes.
All right. So, yes. Now, you can all choose, all of you that are listening, you know, to anchor that energy into the earth, to aid and assist the earth and humanity, to bring it more in at a cellular level so that you can hold more of that energy. Now, again, a cautionary statement here. When you do that, very good comments by you tonight, Veronica, about resistance. Because when you do that, if you're carrying a lot of resistance, you're going to feel the resistance.
Mm-hmm.
New aches, new pains, new this, new that, new confusion, new anger. Any place that you're holding resistance is going to be lighted up, wanted, amplified. Amplified. Now, in addition to your deciding, all right, is there actually somebody at the controls up there saying, all right, let's blast them with light? Well, that's a very simplified vision from Persia. We're sorry for laughing here. The way that these decisions are made and the choices of how it happens are far broader than you can all understand at this time. We will say to you that, yes, there is more light coming in, and you can avail yourself of it. But we would encourage you to do both, to choose and decide as well. Now, what does that mean? You know, if I take on more of this Christ light, Christ consciousness, what does that do? Well, what do you think it does for you? It makes you a beacon, doesn't it?
Mm.
It makes you an activator. We've talked about this over and over again. More of an activator than you already are. And that was your desire all along, to be more of an activator. For all of those around you, for your family, friends, strangers, wherever you travel. But to also bring that light, that consciousness, more of it into the planet to assist her, to aid her in her evolution, her ascension into the higher realms and dimensions. So you can all be incredibly instrumental at this very beautiful time. And never leave your houses, by the way. You can do it all right from home. Sit in your easy chair and do it all. Because after all, it's all consciousness and everything else is an illusion anyway. So, now, Veronica, we can feel you've got questions.
Well, always, aren't I? Yes.
Yes, you do. Well, we feel you're stirring, so you go ahead.
Well, it's just interesting. I'm going, I feel interested in lately in the fact that we separate from one another. For example, the Christ light is coming through, and it still is easy for people to block each other and think I'm dealing with it and someone else isn't. You know, there's this huge separation still that we're dealing with.
That's the negative ego, once again.
Hmm.
All right? We've talked about the negative ego. And because it's this time of the year, and the story of Jesus going into the desert to grapple with the devil was not the devil at all. It was the negative ego.
That sure makes sense.
Because he took on human consciousness. Now, we know that you all make him divine, and you're all divine. Was he able to become Christ? Yes, he was, no question about that. But he still had human tendencies. And even though your Bible has been changed a lot, there's still references to it in the New Testament. To the times when he did get angry, when he did do things. He was human. Had to grapple with the negative ego. The negative ego is the one that says to you, you're better than or less than, you're more than that person or that one.
And those voices can be loud as the Christ frequencies move through.
Absolutely. Thank you. Very good point, Veronica. Very good point. Yes, they can. We would hope that all of you listening have moved beyond that to where you feel that you need to feel that you are more than others. We would hope that you would look at all of humanity with compassion rather than judgment. And we know that's difficult, people, but it is where we hope that you're all going. Now, we did not say don't use discernment, please. That was not a comment. But to understand that they're struggling, every one of them, with whatever they're struggling with, they may not have had the exposure that all of you have had. Or the work. We know many of you have spent years and years and years meditating, reading, going to seminars, doing all kinds of things along your spiritual path. But again, form of separation, Veronica, that you, part of this is the illusion of being on earth,
mm-hmm.
experiencing yourself as separate from your source and separate from each other. You only experience it on earth. It doesn't exist other places. That's why the opportunity for such extraordinary soul growth exists on your planet.
Mm-hmm. There's another thing, too, is people are changing and shifting. And
all
hearing...
Right, wait, one moment, Veronica. Can we make one more comment about that as well?
Okay, sorry.
Oh, no, don't apologize, please. No, we love your question. We just want to make this one statement again. We've all heard this before, but we cannot emphasize this enough. Now, it takes some of the fun out of it, we know this, but there really is only one of you. There really is only one of you. So the whole idea of being separate is a total illusion anyway. See, we are not really separate from you. But you experience it as such. We just happen to be more aware that there is no separation. All right, now, go ahead, Veronica.
Well, that makes my question a little more awkward. However, I'll go for it anyway.
Go for it, absolutely.
I would really love to be very, very patient so someone's dealing with their own negative, his or her own negative ego, as the Christ thing moves through, I could be patient and just radiate that energy, but I don't always have that ability, you know. Sometimes you get caught in the reaction there. So it's a little like tent caterpillars.
All right. And again, our response to that is this. Try to respond instead of react.
Mm-hmm.
Response is a choice. You get to choose with responding. Right?
Yes, and the clarity of what we're doing you've just given us, which helps me respond better.
All right. So responding is a choice. All right. This person is acting out in whatever way. Remember the old ways for all of you. All right. The lower vibrations, the older earth, the third density is to get angry, to be defensive, to go through all of the different gamut of emotions. Now, do you allow someone to run over you? This is where it gets dicey, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What do you do in that situation, Veronica, if somebody is being very mean or unkind and running over you?
And you stop that. Either step away or, you know, sometimes you have to say something or run a sheet of light. Bring out your lightsaber.
All right.
But you can't really let them do that. You can't, I don't believe we can allow that to go on.
Absolutely not. That comes back to self-love and self-value and having good, strong, firm boundaries out of that. So we would encourage you not to allow people to run over you. That's not what we're saying here. All right, that's the reason we brought it up. Don't allow that. And you actually brought it up. Now, let's go back to you. Practice, people. You're not going to get this 100% right. And you're not failing if you don't get it. Please get that clear for all of you. You're in process now, learning how to deal with things in an entirely new way, all the time. How do you do that? Well, consciously. Can you set up your day? Well, we're going to go back to some real basics. Now, there are two sides to this coin. The more light you carry, you're going to get both polarities, a lot of people responding beautifully and positively. You may activate people and see them respond negatively as well. Correct?
Yes.
All right. So what do you do with the negative responses? And that goes back to your question, does it not?
Yes, it does.
All right. Veronica? Historically, what have you done?
Avoid or stay away or maybe resist. Or I do a lot of praying and sending light.
All right, but it brings up fear in you.
Yes, it does.
All right.
And defense, you know.
What?
And defense.
And defense. All right, first, what is the fear?
It could be of being wrong.
Yes, exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you wrong?
Probably, I don't know, sometimes.
Wait. All right. If someone comes and attacks you for whatever reason, and we're talking in your particular instance,
mm-hmm.
All right, it's on a philosophical level, is it not?
Right.
All right. Your response to that is very simple. Reality is objective. this is my truth based on my reality. It may not be yours.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you're allowed to be absolutely right, as am I.
Mm.
I honor that for you. Thank you.
Mm. That's nice.
Now, it diffuses the fear and it diffuses the defense, does it not?
Yes, it does.
And it's also true.
Mm-hmm. And I'm
going to
have
to... when you're in truth, you have nothing to fear.
And we only have about a minute left.
All right, Veronica, please talk about your show next week.
Well, next week, and I can't remember his name, the fellow who does the Daily Om, it's a wonderful astrological newsletter that comes out. He's coming on my show with two new books, both of which I didn't bring the names of them here, but it's going to be very interesting to talk to him. He's a very evolved being. And my other show is Radiance by Design, and that's Tuesday at 4 o'clock for Radiance, the call-in show, and 5 o'clock for my Paradigm Shifter.
Wonderful. Wonderful. To all of you, to all of you, be conscious over this week. We'd like to see you be conscious all the time, but especially be conscious, all right, beginning tomorrow through Sunday. We would ask you all to call us in tonight, and we would be happy to come in, bringing in Christ's light to each and every one of you, if you are willing to do so. We will never come unless we are asked. Please know that. When you go to sleep, just call in the team, dear team. I open myself to the light. All right? I open myself to this light. You're welcome to call in as well. Jesus or Yeshua, whatever name you use. Mary, Mary Magdalene, etc., etc. Anyone else that you wish to call in will be there as well for this particular opening. Know that we love you all, each and every one of you. We thank you for your courage, your commitment. We know it's not been easy, everyone, but what is ahead for you is so beautiful that you will one day look back and recognize all that you've done. Veronica, we love you dearly, dear one.
You, thank you so much.
Your questions are always wonderful. A joy to be with you. Our total, complete, unconditional love to each and every one of you.